Praise God. Thank God for His goodness and the liberty that He brings us. The Word of God tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Praise God. We sang a little earlier, Grace Unrelenting. And sometimes, you know, we need to stop and realize that we're singing. God's grace is unrelenting, the Bible says. In other words, it won't give up. It pursued me from the start, and it arrested my heart. You've overwhelmed me with your tender mercy. Now everything I have lives to worship you. Beautiful words in that. You know, I know sometimes when it's a new tune, it's hard to flow with it, but after you get the tune and you listen to the words and make it a prayer, it makes all the difference in the world. Praise God. We're going to begin a new series today, and we're going to start talking about tithing or giving, whichever term you want to use on that. I'm entitling the series, What About the Tithe? What About the Tithe? There's a lot of people today believe that because we are in the age of grace, that tithing is not for today. There's a lot of people believe that it's never changed. Some people says it has changed. So we're going to look at some different things, and right from the very outset, because you know, you can go on and on and on, and then all of a sudden at the last minute, the last message, tie it all together. But I just want to start right from the beginning and look at the fact that tithing is still a New Testament principle. Okay? Tithing is still a New Testament principle. And I know there's a lot of people, and I don't think sometimes we should get caught up in the terms anyway when it comes to that. There's a lot of people saying, oh no, it's not tithing today, it's called grace giving. Well, whatever term you want to use. You know, but it's still giving. We're still, you know, supporting the work of the Lord and God blessing us because of it. Anyway, let's look at Genesis. This is the very first time tithe is mentioned. Genesis chapter 14. And follow along in your Bibles today, because we're going to look at some scriptures, and you're going to need to know what we're talking about. See, it's no good to just say, well, you know, I believe that because the pastor said it. You know, somebody asks you, you know, at work sometimes, you fellows believe in tithing. Oh, yeah. But where's that in the Bible? I don't know. The pastor preached on it, but it's in there somewhere. That's no good. I remember years ago, we were in a church, and a lady came up, and my wife went there, and in that particular church, everybody wore hats. The women all wore hats. And so anyway, we went there, and my wife never had a hat on, and some of the women got sort of touchy about it. And they said, well, it's in the Bible. I said, well, you show it to me. Well, they said, Pastor so-and-so preached on it. I said, well, you show it to me. You have to wear a hat today. And I said, we'll do it. And they still never showed me. They had a lot of twisted scriptures that they were trying to figure out there, but never ever got the point across. Anyway, so you need to know where things are at in God's Word. And you've heard me mention before the law of first reference. The law of first reference. And every time you see something in the Scripture for the very first time, the very first time that it's mentioned, there's a revelation that's associated with it. Okay, so always keep that in mind. The law of first reference, that's what you hear theologians sometimes talk about that, and Bible scholars. And that's what they're referring to, is that when there's the first mention of something in Scripture, there's a revelation that's associated with it that's basically true for, you know, from then on. And so anyway, before we, well, let's read it first and we'll pray. How's that? Let's read the scripture first. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God, of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the goodness of God. We're so thankful for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the provisions that you've made for us. And Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. Help us to see things in this, Lord, that we can put into practice in our lives. And Father, that we would grow from this. And Father, may it become a part of our experience in our walk with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you read what happened there in that chapter, we don't have time to get into all of it, but Abraham and Lot were dwelling together, and eventually Lot separated. But the thing is, Lot was... there were some kings that came in, the Bible says, got together. Now, I mentioned the law of first reference. This is the first time kings are ever mentioned in the Scripture. And the first time you ever see them, they're fighting. And when you see them in the book of Revelation, they're still fighting. So the kings are fighting all the time. So this is the first time kings are ever mentioned in the Scripture. This is the first time war is ever mentioned in Scripture. First time battles are ever mentioned in Scripture. It's all in this little passage right here. We're reading this chapter 14. It's the first time... well, we're going to answer as we touch on it. But I want us to understand, they came from Abraham's nephew Lot was captured, and Abraham got wind of it, and he went and got his soul. The Bible said the people of his household, there were 318 of them. They got together, his servants, his employees, and different things, and they went out, and God blessed them, and they defeated five armies. Just 318 men. Defeated five armies, brought back all the spoil, brought back all the people that were captured, and brought them back and gave them back to the rightful places and everything else. Now, on the way back, the Bible said, well, if you just look at that again, we just begin at verse 18, but look at verse 16. So he, that's Abraham, brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother, Lot, which is his nephew, really, and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's vale, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, whatever, and the kings who were with him. Now, so this king of Sodom came out and met Abraham. Now, if you jump down to verse 21, you pick up that story again and keep on going. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, see that, just like you come around down through the story, and all of a sudden, you ever look at the TV sometimes years ago, especially when they had the antennas on the roof and things like that, maybe some of you still probably got that, I don't know, but you used to have an antenna on the roof and you'd be looking at the picture and all of a sudden it fade out and something else would cut in across it and then it fade out and your story came back on again. You know, or sometimes you're driving on the road and you're listening to the radio and you're listening, sometimes I do this, I'm listening to UCB and I get down around Kingston somewhere and all of a sudden something else kicks in and there's a rock channel on or something like that and you listen to that for 2 or 3 minutes and you go over another hill and UCB comes back in again. You know, well, this is almost what this was like. Abraham was on his way back from the defeat of all these kings and the Bible says the king of Sodom came out to meet him and then all of a sudden, right out of the blue, there's another channel cuts in, it seems like. Another station kicks in there. Melchizedek shows up. And we got three verses. That's all we have of him in the Old Testament. Three verses. These three verses right here. And Melchizedek, the Bible says, met Abraham. And, you know, brought bread and wine and different things. And Abraham gave him tithe. And then all of a sudden he's vanished again. And you don't hear of him anymore. And then it goes right back into the story again. Picks up, king of Sodom said to Abraham, you know, give me the goods and you know, or give me the people and you take the good. And Abraham said, no, I don't want none of that. He said, I don't want, you know. But anyway, if you look at the story, it seems like it just came in as a blurb, you know. Nebuchadnezzar just showed up. Or not Nebuchadnezzar. Let me get that straight. That was a different fellow. Melchizedek shows up. And all of a sudden... you know, he's vanished again, and right back into the story, and just goes on. You know? And it seems like it's a strange thing. What was he doing there? Who is he? What is it all about? What happened? You know? Now, so here we look at the story, and you say, well, who is this fellow Melchizedek? It's a bit funny, you know, because I got an uncle. His name was Stephen Melchizedek. Matter of fact, that was going to be my name. And, my father said, no, you're not going to call him Melchizedek. If you call him Melchizedek, I'm going to call him Roland. That's supposed to be my name. So they came to a conclusion, Stephen Thomas. So there you go. So Melchizedek, like the name is familiar to me. You want to hear funny names, just talk to me later. We got a lot of them in our family. But anyway, this is the situation. Melchizedek just shows up and just vanishes again. And you look at it and say, what's that all about? Where'd that come from? Who is he? You know, so let me go back again. The first time kings are mentioned, first time war is mentioned, battles are mentioned, the first time the tithe is mentioned. There's a lot of first times in this scripture. Melchizedek is mentioned for the first time, kings. Salem is mentioned for the first time. Priest is mentioned for the first time. As I said, king is mentioned. Most High God, Elyon is a name there, first time. Tithes are mentioned for the first time. War and battle are mentioned for the first times. Now, And this is the first mention of men praising God, all in that one little passage, that little chapter right there, chapter 14. Now, so we look at it, and you say, well, who is this Melchizedek? Matter of fact, over in the New Testament, they said he's still a mystery. There are hard things to understand concerning this fellow Melchizedek. Now, there's all kinds of debate out there, and I can't give you a definitive answer for sure who Melchizedek is. There's a lot of people who says, well, he is just an ordinary king. You know, just an ordinary man, a Canaanite king in the land around that time. And some people say, the Jewish people believe that he was Shem, Noah's son. And there's all kinds of debate of who he is. There's a lot of people believe that he's a theophany. Now, theophany means an appearance of Jesus back in the Old Testament. Sometimes he appeared, they called him the angel of the Lord, because he was just a messenger from God. Nobody knew who he was. And so you see a lot of these things back there in the Old Testament. A lot of people believe that he was God the Son in a human form in that time, a theophany, you know, of Jesus. Now, whether he was or not, and we don't have to get into that to prove any point here this morning, but, you know, these are just some of the thoughts that people have about him. But the Bible says here he was king of Salem. Now, let me say this. The word Salem means peace. Okay? He's the king of Salem. Now, later on, Salem got a little prefix attached to it. It's called Jerusalem. It's the same city. Okay, you read that in Psalm 72 there. Jerusalem. This Salem is Jerusalem. Now, who else is it that's the king of Jerusalem? Jesus. Who's the king of peace? Over in the book of Hebrews, he's called the king of righteousness. Who's the king of righteousness? Now, a lot of people, as I said, a lot of people believe this was, you know, a theophany of Jesus. Again, I can't be dogmatic. Nobody can. But, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us for sure. He's always a mystery right from beginning to end. Now, the Bible says he is priest of the Most High God. Now, notice when this fellow shows up, he was priest of the Most High God, and this is the very first time that priest is mentioned in Scripture. Okay, so we need to look at him and see what he does, because this is what a priest does. You understand that? There's a revelation there. He revealed to Abraham who the true God was. I mean, God was known as Jehovah and things like this, but now all of a sudden he's made known as El Elyon, the Most High God. This is the first time that term is ever used in Scripture. Now, it's interesting because when Jesus came, he gave us a new revelation of who God is. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus said, if you want to see what the Father's like, look at me. So he gave us a revelation of God, what God is like. You understand? Under the Old Testament, when you read things under the Old Testament, sometimes you get the wrong idea of the true nature of God, because it seems like God is a harsh God. But if you look at it, Jesus, the Bible says he's the full representation of God. In him, all the fullness dwells. And when Jesus came on the scene, he said, you want to see what God is like? Look at me. He said, I and my Father, we're one. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it first. So Jesus gave us a new revelation of God. Melchizedek gave a new revelation of God. Not only that, the Bible says Melchizedek came out and he brought out bread and wine. Now, who else do you know that brought out bread and wine? Jesus. You know, so you can look at all these different things. And then the Bible says he blessed Abraham. And then it says Abraham gave him tithe of all. And this is the first time tithe is ever mentioned. Abraham gave him the tithe of all. And you say, well, now, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Yes, it's Old Testament, but it's not Old Covenant. You got to understand, this was 400 and some odd years before the law was brought in. He paid tithe for. Some people says, well, I don't believe, you know, I was talking to somebody this past week, and they said, well, I believe, they said, that tithing went out with the law? And I said, I don't. They said, why not? I said, because it never came in with the law. It was there 430 years before the law, or 400 some odd years, 422. I figured it the week, looking at different calendars and different things and, you know, history in it. 400 and some odd years before the law took place. But the Bible tells us that God gave Abraham the promise 430 years before the law. So this was the same Abraham. So 400 some odd years before the law, Abraham was tithing. Now, go over to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And we have another story about Abraham's grandson. Okay, Abraham had a son named Isaac. And the Bible says God blessed Isaac and gave him a great increase in his crop, even in the time of famine. Everybody else was starving to death. Look at Isaac's field, everything was growing wonderful. And why was that? Well, the same principle here. Here's Jacob. Okay, this is years later. Jacob was the grandson of Isaac, or of Abraham. Okay, now notice what it says here. Now Jacob ran for his life, you know the story, and was going to find a wife for himself and different things. And on the way, he stopped and he slept on the ground. The Bible says to put a pillar, a stone under his head for a pillow. And in that night, he saw visions and different things taking place. And this is what he said to God when he woke up in the morning. This is what he said. This is Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. Remember, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. I mean, that's been our concern all of our lives. What am I going to survive? How am I going to survive? And Jacob said, Lord, he said, because God, if you read a little earlier in the chapter, God told him all this up front in the dream. So Jacob got up in the morning. He said, if you do this, you know, the things that you just told me in the dream. So this is what he's referring to here. He said, the bread to eat and clothing to put on, verse 21, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, because when he left, his brother was trying to kill him. Then the Lord shall be my God. He said, God, if you do this, he said, you'll be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. Okay, this is Bethel. This is the first time God's house is mentioned. He said, shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. That's what the word tithe means, a tenth. He said, of everything you give me, he said, I will surely give you a tenth. Now this is, again, this was probably 300 and some odd years before the law. You understand where I'm coming from? So this is long before the law was instituted. People were tithing to God. Now you wonder, where did Jacob hear about this? I believe he learned it from his grandfather, Abraham. He probably learned it from his father, Isaac. And now Jacob himself knew that there was a covenant with God that if I tithe, God is going to bless me. Now, we don't hear much more. As I said, Melchizedek just came on the scene and disappeared again. But all through the Old Testament, you read about tithing and giving to God. The Bible tells us when we're tithing, like Abraham, for instance, when he tithed all that he had, he gave one-tenth to Melchizedek, this priest of the Most High God. Now you understand, he gave it to the priest. That's important because we've got to remember that a little later on. He gave it to the priest of the Most High God. And then, as I said, Melchizedek just vanished. He just showed up and it's almost like, you know, where did all that come from? Why did that happen? And he's gone. There's only one other time he's mentioned in the Old Testament. That's in the book of Psalms, chapter 110. And David was speaking by the Spirit. And again, he was talking about Jesus. He said, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you got to understand, Melchizedek was a priest long before the law came into existence, long before the sons of Levi, the sons of Aaron, became the priest of Israel. Okay, this is 400 years, at least 400 years before there was a priest to God. Okay, now, the Bible tells us a lot of times through the Old Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures, you find a lot of these verses, but here's one in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and it's a very familiar passage. You've heard it many, many times. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Now, notice what he says, honor the Lord with your substance. and with the first fruits of all your increase. That's our part. Okay, honor the Lord with our substance, the first fruit of all of our increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, these people were agricultural people, and this is where vineyards and everything else, and God used the terms that they understood. But for us, we could say, if we honor the Lord with all of our increase and all of our substance, God will bless us, and our barns, our food store will be good. We'll have plenty to eat and plenty to wear and plenty to drink, and we'll be blessed in all these different areas if we do our part at the beginning. Okay, now, as I said, tithing was before the law. And as a matter of fact, some people say, well, tithing is part of the law. And in one sense, yes, tithing is a part of the law. But tithing is not part of the law per se, because tithing was already there when the law came in. All that changed was the way that it was collected. And now, under the law, if you never tithe, there was a curse that was associated with it. Okay, you don't read that before, but you read it after this. Now, so anyway, God tells us to honor him with all of our substance. And he said he'll supply all of the other things that we need. Now, so Melchizedek, as I said, he disappeared. In Westcott's epistle to the Hebrews, he says this. He said, Melchizedek disappears from the stage of history as suddenly as he appears. Nothing is recorded of his family or his lineage, of his life or his actions. He stands unique and isolated both in his person and in his history. His life has no recorded beginning or close. Melchizedek was a blurb, gone again. And as I said, we don't hear anything else about him except there in Psalm 110 and verse 4. Now, I want us to turn to Deuteronomy. Now, this will be under the law. Deuteronomy chapter 26. You should write down these scriptures, because sometimes you need to look these up yourself and see what is all about. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Beginning of verse 1. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. Now, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel. This is just before they were going into the promised land. Okay, Moses was about to be gone off the scene. He was going to die. Joshua was going to take over after him. This is right up to the brink, so to speak, before he went into the promised land. And Moses gives them this rundown of what they have to do when they get into the promised land. You understand it? He's dying. He's passing off the scene. He loved the people. He's concerned for the people. He said, now, when you get into the land, this is what you're going to have to do. You want God's blessing, this is what you're going to have to do. Now, this is what he says. And it shall be, verse 1 there, it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it. So he's saying, when you get into that land, into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, across the Jordan River. Remember, he went across the Jordan River and Jericho came down and they went in and took the land. He said, when you get into that land that God is going to give you, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land. Now notice what he says here. You shall take some of the first of all the produce. See, here's the thing about the tithe. In tithing, you're putting God first. That's what the tithe is all about, is giving God his rightful place. We pray it a lot of times when we take up the tithe, take up the offerings, and tithe and offerings. David pray it. We give back to God what's rightfully his, what rightfully belongs to him. You understand it? Now, so he said, when you get into the land, he said, take some of the produce, the first produce from the land, from the ground rather, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Now, you can draw a lot of conclusions from that. When you go in, first of all, take the first part of the land, the first fruits. Okay, take some of that, he said, put it in a basket. In other words, lay it aside. The Bible tells over in the New Testament, lay it by store. He said, put it into a basket, and he said, bring it to the place where the Lord your God shall choose to place his name. Now you can, and I've heard people preach on this years ago, and they're saying, you know, is that up to us sometimes what church we attend? Even though I know we decide, but is as you feel led by the Spirit, that's what you got to go by. As you feel, the place that God chooses for you to be. You understand that? You know, and again, I'm not going to get into a big debate over that, but I'm just saying, he said, take it to the place that God chooses. Take it to the place that God chooses. Now, verse 3, and you shall go to the one who is priest in those days. Now, get that. You shall go to the one who is priest in those days. Okay, now Moses was going to be dead by the time this happened. So this is what he's telling him. Whoever the priest is in that day. Okay, at this particular time, Aaron was the priest, Moses' brother. But he said, when you get into the land that God's going to give you, he said, whoever is the priest in that day, take the tithe to him. Okay, that is what he's saying. Go to the one who was priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come out of the country from which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Now, and you can go on and through it. We don't have time to read all the rest of what he had to say. But there's a way that you bring your tithe to the Lord. This is, now you say, well, that's the old covenant. I know it is. I told you that up front. This is old covenant. This part what we're reading right here, this is from the old covenant. Okay? But he tells us how they were to bring the tithe to the Lord and what to do with it. Now, and as I said, a lot of people say, well, that don't apply to us today because we're not under the law. No, we're not under the law, but we're still obligated to tithe. This is God's word. And I'll show it to you as we go on. Okay, now, let's go over. Well, there's a few verses. I just read these to you. I got them jotted down here. I just read those to you, and you can just take reference to them. But notice what he said there. You shall take it to the high priest, or to the priest in that day. Now, how many realize we have a priest today? What's his name? He's our high priest. Okay? Now, the Bible tells him, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. He says, all the tithe of the land. Now, how much? All the tithe of the land. He said, whether it be if the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. The tithe of the land is the Lord's. And then he says, it is holy unto the Lord. Now, let me say this. It's the Lord's, whether you give it to him or not, whether I give it to him or not, it belongs to him. All the tithe. You know, sometimes we think, what is it? That's the Lord's, the tithe. When we bring the tithe and we give it into the offering, well, that's the Lord's. But that was the Lord's when you get your paycheck. That was the Lord's all the time. Now, I know I'm not trying to convince anybody here this morning. I believe you're all, you know, believing this anyway. But I'm just saying, we need to understand that it's the Lord's, whether we give it to him or not, it does belong to him. And the Bible says it is holy unto the Lord. Okay, the tithe is holy. Now, down in verse 32, Leviticus 27, 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd. Now, he's talking, first of all, about the land. Okay, now he's talking about their cattle. He said, or if the flock or whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now, what they would do when they were counting the cows and the sheep and whatever, the cattle and flocks and everything else, when they were counting that, they would, you know, basically it sounds like, anyway, they would have probably two rails, the same as probably they do today, and they would put a rod across there, and everyone passed through under that rod. He said every tenth one belongs to the Lord. Okay? The tithe means one tenth. So every tenth one belongs to the Lord. See, God made it so simple. You don't have to be a super mathematician or anything else to try to figure out what the tithe is. You know? Just move the decimal one spot to the left. You know? You got $100, move it over one, it's 10. you know, God makes it very simple. You know, now, so it's the Lord's, whether you give it to him or not, it's the Lord's, and God considers it a holy thing. And all through the scripture, we're told not to touch the holy things that belong to the Lord. Now, don't get mad at me. We got to get down through this. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. That is a verse that, you know, is very familiar when it comes to tithing. This is what God says. This is the last book right in the Old Testament, the last book before you get into the New Covenant. This is what he said. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Not part of it, all of it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. Prove me. Prove me. Sometimes we need a prove me offering. You know? Say, Lord, I'm going to prove you on this. I mean, he tells us to. It's not being sacrilegious or you know, disrespectful to God or anything else. God tells us to do it this. Bring your tithe into the house, into the storehouse, that there may be meat or supplies in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord. Prove me in this, says the Lord. If I will not open you to windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Man, that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. Now, so that was the Old Testament. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews. And all of a sudden, we're going to see Melchizedek reappear. Remember, he appeared in Abraham's day. About 900 years later, David was saying something. And David said, you know, the Messiah is going to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's the first time we heard of him, over 900 years. Then we don't hear anything else about him until about another 1,000 years down the road. And all of a sudden, the writer to the Hebrews mentions him, Melchizedek. Like I said, he just showed up as a blurb for three verses and gone. Don't know anything else about him. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews. First of all, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Like I said, you might not have time to go through all these scriptures, but jot them down and look them up yourself after. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus is referred to seven different times. Okay, we don't hear much about him in the Old Testament, Melchizedek. Three verses. Four, if you tie in the one from Psalms where we talked about him. You know, just refer back to him. So that's all you hear. But here we got chapter 5, 6, 7, 8. All these, you know, these chapters are given to explain the priesthood and Melchizedek. And we don't have time to get into all of it today, obviously. But sometimes you should take that and read it. But notice what he says. I just give you references. Jesus, as I said, seven different times he's referred to as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, what does it mean after the order of Melchizedek? We'll get into that in a minute. Hebrews 5 and 6, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5 and 10, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6 and 20, Jesus is made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 and 11, he said, there shall another priest arise after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 and 15, after the similitude of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 and 17, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews 7 and 21, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you think God is trying to get a point across there? Seven different times in that short passage, you know, these short chapters, seven different times he said, you're a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And there's another two times that Melchizedek is mentioned in those passages as well. So seven different times God is telling us that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now remember when we started out a few years ago, we talked about this is back here, this is Adam, right back here. This is the beginning, right? And then we had Abraham right here. Let me just get something out here. We'll do this again like we did before. This is the law. Okay, this is when Moses came on the scene. And over here is where Jesus comes on the scene. Now, the Bible says from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus was 2,000 years. Okay, so I haven't got this done, you know, to scale, obviously. But here's Abraham. He was tithing 430 years, roughly, before the law came into existence. So this is why I don't believe that when the law ended right here, that the tithe stopped, because we still have scriptures saying that it never. I'll show you that in a minute. Now, so we have Abraham was tithing, Isaac was tithing, Jacob was tithing, and all the others, and God gave them all these laws. Right here it came in as a law that there's a curse associated with if you never tithe. It became a law of the land that you had to tithe. It's like our taxes of our land today. You go to the government and say, I got too many bills paid this month. I can't pay my taxes. You think government's going to care about that? You know, we honor our government, we ought to honor our God. Anyway, right here the law came in, and a new priesthood came in. Now get this, this is important for us to understand what's going on in Hebrews. There's a new priesthood that came in here. The priest that came in here was Aaron. He was from the tribe of Levi. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Jacob had 12 sons. One of his sons, Levi, was the head of the priesthood. And was not all of Levi's tribe, but through Aaron's family, Aaron's clan. Okay? So Aaron became the first high priest, and his sons, and on down through. Now, in order to become a part of the priesthood, under, you couldn't just say, well, I think I'm going to be a priest when I grow up. You never made that choice. You were either born into that family or you weren't. It's like you can't say, well, I think I'm going to be the king of England. Too bad. You got to be born into that family. You understand that? And this is what happened here. You had to be born into Aaron's family, which is in the tribe of Levi. You had to be born into Aaron's family. So this priesthood, roughly 1,500 years, this priesthood of Aaron, it's called the Aaronic priesthood, the Levites, okay? They were the priests. Right here in this passage, God commanded them to receive tithe from the people. This was their duty, to receive the tithe from the people. Yep. Okay, so we have these people. But this is only a temporary priesthood. A lot of people still believe that this was the final priesthood. No, Jesus, the Bible says, let's go over here. This is Jesus. Okay, this is after Calvary. Let's say this is Calvary. Over here, back here to Abraham, to Moses, the law came into effect for 1,500 and some odd years. There was the Aaronic priesthood that was in here. It's interesting because the Bible tells over in Hebrews, Jesus was off the order of Melchizedek, not these fellows right here. You understand that? Not the Aaronic priesthood, but he was off the order of Melchizedek, back here, the one that Abraham gave to. The fellow just appeared and vanished. Jesus, he said, was after his order. In other words, what this fellow was doing, his priesthood, is what Jesus is going to be doing in his priesthood. You understand that? Now, so not this priesthood right here, this Aaronic priesthood. Now, let's look at a few scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Now, I'll try to wrap this up before supper time. You know I'm joking about that. Hope you know. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, remember that fellow who showed up back there? Never heard nothing else about him? All of a sudden he picked up again here in Hebrews. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham also gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Now, who is the king of righteousness? Who is the king of peace? Okay, so this fellow back here, he's called the king of peace. He's called the king of righteousness. He's the king of Jerusalem. Now, whether he is a theophany of Jesus or not, I don't know. But I tell you, he's tied in pretty close to whoever Jesus, you know, whoever he is tied into Jesus. Now, let's go on. Verse 3 gives you a little bit more clue. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, but I tell you, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, and he remains a priest forever. Now you get that? How long is his priesthood? He's got no genealogy, no father, no mother, no record. Now, the Jews believe that he was Shem, Noah's son, but the Jews don't believe the New Testament. Right here it says he got no genealogy, no record of who he is. You understand? So even though the Jews believe that he's Shem, Noah's son, this part here proves that he's not. Because we know his genealogy. We know his father, his mother, and different things. But this fellow, we don't know who his father and mother is, his genealogy. having no beginning of days nor end of life, but he remains a priest forever. Now, whether it was a theophany of Jesus, or whether it was, as some people believe, that he was just an ordinary man, that, you know, just because there's no record of his birth and record of his death or anything else, he's just a picture of Jesus. I don't know. But I tell you, it's leaning to, in my mind, is leaning a lot towards a theophany. But again, I'm not going to be dogmatic on that, and it doesn't really matter to the outcome of what we're going to talk about anyway. But I'm just saying. Now, he said, now consider how great this man was. Now, let me say this. There are three major religions in the world today that they call the Abrahamic religions. Abrahamic religions. There's Jews that look to Abraham as the father of their religion. There's Muslims that look to Abraham as the father of their religion. And there's Christians that look to Abraham. He's the father of the faith, the Bible says, father of the faithful. Okay, so these three religions. Okay, now Abraham, if you talk to a Muslim or a Jew, Abraham is highly esteemed. Highly esteemed. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that was close to God and somebody that had the covenants of God, they'll refer back to Abraham. Now, writer to the Hebrews said, consider how great this fellow was, that even Abraham, the patriarch, even Abraham, the highest one that the Jews and the Muslims and, you know, Christians would look to as the symbol of faith, look, he said, consider how great it was that even Abraham paid tithe to him. Now, I'm not going to try and read all the scriptures I want to get into. I'm just going to have to say it. You know most of the scriptures here anyway. He went on to say, he said, when Abraham paid tithe there, even Levi, who was in Abraham's loins. Now remember reading that? Even Levi, who was this priesthood right here, even he paid tithe to Melchizedek. So the point was, Melchizedek's priesthood is far greater than the Levitical priesthood, Aaron's priesthood, because they paid tithe to Melchizedek in Abraham. And I believe there's a principle there. When we paid tithe as parents, our children can be blessed. You get that? When we pay tithe as parents, our children can reap the benefits from it. Our genealogy, our descendants can reap the benefit from it, because they're still in our loins, so to speak, when we pay the tithe. Now, let's read it. Now, consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, that's these right here, you get this now? You got to understand what's going on here. Those who are of the sons of Levi, who received a priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithe from the people. These people here had a commandment from God to receive the tithe from Israel. You get that? Now, that is from the brethren, though they came from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy, this fellow back here, is not derived from them. Okay, this fellow's, his genealogy is not from the Levites. We just read, he's got no genealogy. There's no record of his birth, no record of his death. He lives forever. Okay, now, whose genealogy is not derived from them, received tithe from Abraham and passed and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, in other words, without any question, the lesser, Abraham, is blessed by the greater. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. He said the lesser is blessed by the greater. Now, verse 8 is what I want us to see before we finish up. Here, mortal men receive tithe. Okay, here on the earth, mortal men receive tithe. You understand that? When you brought your tithe this morning, put it in the offering plate, we ushers went around and clicked the offering. I mean, not only today, but any Sunday. They go around and collect the offering. It's taken. Some people get together. They count it. They put it into the bank, and then it's used for the ministry here in the local church and for missions and different things. And every church operates basically the same way. So he said, here, mortal man, we're only mortal people. We received a tithe on behalf of God. He said, here, mortal man received tithes. But there... Now, well, let me read it, and then I'll touch on it. But there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. Now, Some people say, well, it's referring back here to Melchizedek. You know, here, mortal man receives it, but there, he received it who it is witness that he lives. Okay? That's, you know, whichever way you look at it. You could also look at it here on the earth, mortal man receives tithe, but there, he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Now, who lives forever? Who is dead and is alive? So there's a witness that he lives. He's not dead. Okay. Now, this is, if we could only see this, I believe that, you know, a lot of times when you go talk about tithing, people just get nervous and afraid and says, oh, you know, I'm going to talk about money again. All they talk about in church is money. You know something? I think, now I could be wrong. I may have one or two senses. But the last time I preached on tithe in this church was 1998. I did a series at that time. Like I said, I may have done one or two over the years, but, you know, and don't get nervous. We're not going to take another offering after the service, okay? So just take a deep breath and relax. Some people say, I don't want to go to church. All you ask for is your money. Go up Walmart. All Walmart asks for is your money. All Canadian Tire asks for is your money. Everywhere you go, you got to spend money. You know? Anyway, that's a different topic. But he said, here, mortal men receive tithe. But there, whether he's referring to Abraham or to Melchizedek, who, whichever way you look at it, he's a picture of Jesus anyway. Or you could say, there in heaven, Jesus, of whom it is testified that he lives, received tithe. Now, here's what I want us to understand. This is New Testament. Any question? Anybody got any question of the Hebrews, book of Hebrews in the New Testament? This is New Testament. He said, here, he still receives them. Some people said, oh no, passed out when the law was gone. No, this was written after the law was already finished and they were into the new covenant, after Calvary. He said, here, mortal man receives it, but there, I believe what happens, honestly, I believe this. Same thing back in the Old Testament. When they would bring the tithe or the offerings, whatever it was, a lamb or anything else, when they would bring it to God, they would bring it to the high priest. The high priest would take it and offer the sacrifice with it or whatever had to be done, and he would present it to God on behalf of the people. Remember that? Now notice what we said. Moses said, when you get into the land, and whoever is priest in that day, you bring your offering to him. As I said, we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. When we bring our tithe and offering, we put it in a plate. You know, this is the way mortal man receives it. But while this is happening here on the earth, God is in heaven. Jesus, our high priest, is receiving our offering. You understand it? He's receiving our tithe and our offering. And so when we bring our tithe and offerings to the Lord, we need to realize that even though we're going through a routine down here, and some churches you have singing or whatever, the offerings taking up or whatever's going on, while we're going through that down here on the earth, Jesus is receiving that in heaven. You understand that? Same thing as in the Old Testament, the priest would bring an offering in, even though he is doing something here on the earth, coming into the Holy of Holies and all these different things and bringing in the blood. In heaven, God was recognizing that. That was taking place in heaven. Things on the earth was only a copy of the things that were in heaven, the Bible says. So here we have this high priest. We bring our offering to our high priest. Now, you got to understand, see, we don't understand sometimes, and we don't talk about it so much, as we have a priest. We still get through to God through our priest. Under the old covenant, you couldn't reach God unless you went through the priest. You had an offering to bring to God, you bring it to the priest. You know, if somebody was healed, they had to go down to the priest. Everything is done through the priest. Now, I know there's some people today believe you still go to a physical, literal priest here on the earth. I don't believe. The Bible tells us we have a high priest. He's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. So we go to our high priest and we offer whatever it is to God. Whether it's our tithe or offering. You know, the Bible tells over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, that's our high priest. By him, let us offer a sacrifice of praise. You understand that again? Everything we offer to God has got to go through our high priest. When we worship God, it's through our high priest. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father unless they come through me. You get that? So as we bring our offerings, as we bring our tithes and whatever we're bringing to God, we bring it to our high priest. He brings it to the Father, and he blesses. See, this is what the Bible says right here over in Hebrews. The Bible says Abraham gave him tithe of all, and he blessed Abraham. When we bring our tithe to God, God blesses us. You understand that? So as the Bible talks about the very same thing in Philippians chapter 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As again, it's through our high priest. We worship through our high priest. We bring our offerings through our high priest. God blesses us through our high priest. Everything has got to go through Jesus. Whichever way is going, has got to go through Jesus. You can't get to the Father without him. God can't get through to you unless it's through your high priest. Jesus, the Bible says, and here's the difference. See, these priests, we don't have time to get into it now, and I'm trying to just wrap it up quickly. These priests right here, they were limited because they all died. They would be a high priest for 40, 50 years or whatever it was, and then they would die. Then the next one in line would pop up, and he would be a priest. Some were faithful, some weren't, but he would be a priest, and he would die. And the Bible tells us there in Hebrews, that this priesthood here were limited because they died. But he said, this man, Jesus, who's after the order of Melchizedek, he lives forever. So his priesthood is forever. And we can be sure, you see, again, I don't have time to get into it. Whatever the high priest was, that's how the country went. That's how the nation went. If the high priest was a good high priest, the nation was blessed. If the high priest came in to bring an offering for the people, for the sin on the Day of Atonement or whatever, if the high priest came in and there was sin in his life, the high priest would drop down dead and the people, their sins weren't covered. Whatever happened to the high priest happened to the nation. You understand that? And they were limited. You see, the same thing with David. This is just crossing my mind there. Remember when Goliath was coming out and he was going out with all of his, shouting and everything else, and everybody's afraid of him? When David came in and defeated Goliath, that defeat was for all the nation. All the nation was free after that. You understand? So one person, when the high priest would come in, if he was a good high priest, all the nation would be blessed. If God accepted the sacrifice, all the nation would be blessed. But if the sacrifice wasn't accepted, the nation wouldn't be blessed. But we have a high priest who's not limited by lifespan of, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. This high priest that we have abides forever, the Bible says. He's a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, what was Melchizedek's ministry? Receiving tithe and blessing. What's Jesus' ministry? Receiving tithe and blessing. He's after the same order. In other words, whatever Melchizedek did, and that's what I said, is a law of first reference. Whatever that priest did is what this priest is going to do. He received a tithe and he blessed. The Bible says we have a high priest. He's always interceding for us. Always interceding. So when we bring our tithe and offerings, and we get into more scriptures next week, but as we bring our tithe and offerings, we're honoring God, and our high priest is taking that before the Father, and the offering is accepted, and the blessings are bestowed upon us. That was Old Testament right here. It happened before the Old Testament, as mentioned again, after the Old Covenant was gone, and into the New Covenant. We have a high priest forever, as after the order of Melchizedek. Not after these priests. These were a limited time. You understand it? What this priest did, that priest is going to do. This priest received tithe. Our high priest receives tithe today. So is tithing New Testament? Absolutely. Positively. Guaranteed. Tithing is part of the New Covenant. Praise God. Let's stand together. We're going to sing something when they get ready here. You say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to be practical with you now. You say, Pastor, I haven't been all that faithful in tithing. And let me say this up front. And Jennifer knows this as our treasurer. John knows it. He helps with the counting. I don't know if you give 5 cents, $5, or 5,000. Honestly, I don't. I don't. The only person I know who gives anything in this church is myself. Well, I know my wife's as well. But that's all I know. I don't go into the offering envelopes and start looking and say, Man, they haven't given for a while. That's none of my business. This is between you and God. You understand that? So I don't know. So don't look at me and feel, well, he's saying this now because he knows I'm not tithing. I don't know, like I said, if you give 5 cents or $5 or $500. I don't know. And I don't want to know. I made up that decision. I heard older pastors years ago when we were just going to church and things like that. And I used to hear a pastor say it. And I thought, man, if I ever went to ministry, that's how I'd want to be too. And I have. The only time I ever knew is when I used to look after the books in church myself. First, we started ministry in some of the smaller churches. But for the last however many years, I have no idea what people give. And I don't want to know. Because I wouldn't be able to preach if I knew you weren't. I'd be looking at you all while I'm preaching. And you probably keep your head down all while I'm preaching. So keep your head up high. I don't know what you're doing. But here's the thing. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I haven't been as faithful as I should be. I haven't, you know. Now, here's the difference. Under the law, this period right here, if you kept back part of the tithe, you had to add on interest. 20%. You read it. One-fifth. If you had, say, well, I'm not going to put tithe in this week. I got to put tires on the car, so I'm going to keep back $100. But when you put it in next week, you have to put in $120 to cover that. That was under the law. Thank God we're not under the law. Okay? Under the law, if you never tithe, he said you're under a curse. Thank God Jesus removed a curse. You understand that? He was made a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Everything that the law, the curses that came under the law, Jesus redeemed us from that. But the blessing is still there. You see, Jesus in his own ministry, every time he wanted to do something, he said, give me something. We got nothing here, only two fish. And that's good, bring it over. And he multiplied it. You want God to bless you? He said, give me something to work with. I need something that I can multiply for you. Oh, no, just bless me. No, give me something. I need something to work with. I need something from the earth that I can multiply for you and give it back to you. But God, I can't do that. You see, what we try to do, we try to hold on to the seed and eat the seed ourselves. But you fellows around this area should know the difference of that. You're all farmers. You eat the seed, you can't plant any crop. You can't get a harvest. See, and your tithe is your seed. As you plant that, as you give it to God, then God can take it and multiply. I mean, Moses, back under the old covenant even. God said, what do you got in your hand, Moses? Because Moses complained, I can't speak, I can't do this, I stutter, And God said, Moses, what do you got in your hand? Nothing, a stick. God said, that'll do. And with that stick, God delivered Israel. I mean, God uses just anything that we will give to him, he'll take it and multiply it. So if you want multiply your finances, your give to God. Give it, put it in his hands. And when his hands touches it, you give it to your high priest, and the high priest takes it, and all of a sudden the blessings start coming out. He said, you bring your tithe to the storehouse? Some people say, oh no, I send my tithe to Compassion Canada or, the SPCA or... No, that's not where your tithe goes. Your tithe goes to the storehouse. Like I said, this is just practical stuff now. But as you bring your tithe, our high priest, we bring it to our high priest. As we bring our tithe to our high priest, he brings it before the Father. And he said, he'll pour out a blessing. You won't have room to contain it. And he said, prove me, see if it'll happen or not. Sometimes we need to do a prove me. You say, Lord, I need this thing taken care of. So God, I'm going to plant a seed, and I'm going to believe you. A prove me offering. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but sometimes in your own life, you need to do that sometimes. Just, prove me, says the Lord, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. We've all had to deal with the devourer sometimes. You get a flat tire in your car, and you get that fixed, and all of a sudden the washing machine breaks down, and you get that fixed, and all of a sudden there's a leak in the roof, and you get that fixed, and all of a sudden, something else goes wrong. God said, I'll put a stop to that. If you put me first. Now, let me get this through to you. It's not because God needs money in heaven. Okay? That's a different message. We'll get into it some other time. But anyway, it's not because God is poor and he needs money in heaven. God needs his work done here on the earth.